Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
It's time for a rose gold, icy blonde, opalescent episode of Fat Mascara.
Ooh.
Jen, how are you?
I'm intrigued now. Before we get to that part of the episode, Jess has exciting news to share with everybody. So we're going to talk about that, as well as Fashion Week and all our favorite beauty looks. Then, because we're so glamorous, you know, Fashion Week 2, chicken skin and vag washes.
Vag.
That's how we do. So who's our guest?
Our guest is Ara Friedman. She's the cool girl's hair colorist and the reason why rainbow hair is everywhere.
This is your celebration. Celebrate good times, come on.
Celebrate. So Jess, we have some news to share. Should I share it for you?
You can share it for me.
No, you go ahead. You have a new job.
Okay.
Tell us about it.
All right. So I have a new job. I have bid adieu to Cosmopolitan, which I had an awesome almost 4 years at. But I am now the beauty and health director at Teen Vogue.
Now that you're a director, you're so serious all of a sudden.
Very, very serious.
This is a super fun job.
I know.
So to celebrate, I brought a bottle of champagne, but then it exploded right before we started recording.
And Jen screamed in my left ear.
I know,
it'll never
was a really,
be the same.
It was a girly scream. But no, I want to toast you, so we're going to toast with the remnants. Cheers. I feel like some of your readers might be over 21. This is okay, right?
This is fine. And when you're 21, you can have delicious champagne, too. It's really fun.
Don't sound so excited about it. No, but tell me, because I think people are curious about this. Like, you were the Cosmo girl, the Cosmo voice for 4 years. Now you're at Teen Vogue. So far, do you feel your job is different?
Yeah, my responsibilities are different. Before, I was part of a team, and now I'm leading the team. So still part of the team by definition.
Speaking of leading the team, I just want to point out the people that had this job before Jess, there was, someone named Eva Chen, who basically, like, runs Instagram now. And then Elaine, who is the editor at Teen, she became the editor from this job. She's your boss, though.
Elaine's my boss. She's fabulous. I mean, Eva's fabulous. I need some kind of pose, some kind of, like, Jess Matlin pose, how, like, Eva Chen has her Eva Chen pose. If you guys have any tips, please tweet me, Instagram me, because I need some inspo.
Okay, we're going to bring you into, you're going to be the new Instagram.
Right now I have fetal position.
Hashtag
Jess Matlin pose.
Hashtag Jess Matlin pose. It'll be fetal in the back of a cab. I love it.
Napping. That sounds about me.
Yeah.
No, but I'm really excited. Teen Vogue's doing amazing things. I can't say, we are doing amazing things, but the people before me, you know, certainly Elaine has done awesome stuff. So it'll make its way
into the podcast, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, yeah.
Plus now you're in the Vogue world, so we got to talk fashion, don't we?
Fashion.
Also, it's Fashion Week. I can't believe your first week was Fashion Week.
Baptism by fire. But yeah. I haven't gone to as many shows as I used to because I've split my time in the office and I also started in the middle of Fashion Week. But I've gone to a few. What have you enjoyed?
Lucky for you, I've been doing on-the-ground reporting for the Fat Mascara podcast.
Jen is in the field.
By the way, backstage, like people have been like, oh, they've been talking about the podcast with me. So that's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so favorite looks so far? And then I have some non-favorites.
Okay, what are your favorites?
I really liked the two-toned lip at Kushni.
Very much so. In agreement.
I'm not going to attempt to say the full name of that label because I don't know how. Kushni et
Okay. CEO.
But it was a red, it was matte red on the top and magenta on the bottom. They did it with MAC lip pencils. I feel like that's so easy, but it looks really cool and different. So I'm down with that.
And it's also very much like the Pat McGrath school, not that she did the makeup there, but like of using multiple products to create a cool look.
Speaking of multiple products and Pat McGrath, did
keep
you
going.
See DKNY?
Yes.
That woman is on fire. She did like her Naomi Campbell VMA lip, but like darker.
It was gorgeous. And the hair was beautiful, too. The girls were wearing hoods, and it was over, like, very sleek, amazing hair. I want to be wearing a hoodie, like, at any point possible right now with, like, super straight hair.
I feel like you'd be very in fashion. What were some of your favorite looks?
I got a vibe from you when we looked at this photo before we started recording that this was not one of your favorites. The Alex Wang chill surfer look.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you like it.
I love it. I just think it's like very, it tells a story. And I like a look that tells a story. There's not a lot of makeup. The hair, like Alex Wang can basically like convince anyone to like turn themselves into a pretzel. He convinced a lot of the girls to like cut their hair, bleach their hair. So it's this really like beautiful kind of like, reminds me of like Lords of Dogtown, if you remember that movie. Remember like the skater movie? The girls look like high, like the Z-Town boys.
Yeah.
The girls look like hot dudes. Am I like weird for saying that?
No, not at all. I mean,
like I want to go out with all of them.
And Alexander Wang looks like a hot girl. So it's like it works.
Oh my God. And they have like this like no makeup, very like it's supposed to be sunburnt skin.
No, I didn't not like it. My thing is it's Alexander Wang. So like, oh, of course it's cool. Like if Tori Burch did that look, we'd be like, why are the girls so messy?
I could completely get that. Yeah.
But it was cool. Can I talk about one of my not favorites before we...
Sure.
Okay. Did you see? You know I love Hood by Air.
Yes.
And their gender bending, you know, style.
Oh, they always do like whack stuff.
Oh, did you? You didn't see, did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So they partnered with Pornhub to do their collection. I don't even know how to.
I don't even have like a response for that. I'm still digesting. They partnered with Pornhub
I don't know if this was like they were running out of money and they needed like a big sponsor. I don't know. I'll just describe the look objectively. The girls and boys, the men and women, looked like their hair was extremely gelled to the point of you saw chunks of the gel and it was like milky gel looking all over their hair. And so backstage, the hairstylists were like, oh, it's mischievous children who got into household accidents with Vaseline. I'm sorry. It's like they were trying to make it like people jizzed all over the hair. You're in shock.
I really hope our Teen Vogue listeners are not listening to this right now.
I'm sorry. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because this is like shock value beauty, and I'm not down with that. Like, just for the sake of us talking about it.
I'm completely on the same page. I mean, they think the shock value stuff or the stuff that's clearly done for like media pickups. I don't know.
Daisy Gual did it too. They did Snapchat makeup.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking of. I mean, people who aren't into fashion, I went to brunch on Sunday and like a guy that is not into fashion, he's like, oh, I was like, are you going to Fashion Week? I saw this like crazy Snapchat, you know, like makeup. And he's not going to remember like Alex Wang's makeup, but right. he remembers this. I don't think he's going to run out and buy Daisy Gual, but I'm not into that. That's not for me what Fashion Week is about. This thing you're telling me about is just disgusting.
Well, I have pictures here, and you'll probably think that's even more so now.
Oh, you know what it reminds me of?
It just belittles the artistry that other people are doing when they're doing...
Oh, I'm sorry. This is horrendous.
Yeah, it was bad. That's not even the worst one. But, like, there's people out there that are artists that are doing this that are getting noticed because they're making things that are cool and different and beautiful. They're not just doing shock value, so... I mean, I get that it's art, but I don't know. I'm speechless. You're speechless too, apparently. Okay, we'll end on a high note. I'll call it now. Wet hair, still a thing. Red, bold, pink, red lips, still a thing. And barrettes. I saw lots and lots of barrettes.
Are you going to wear a barrette? I can't see you in a little barrette.
Why not?
Yeah,
maybe not. But I like it on a model.
All I know is I want to date with one of these Alex Wang girls.
Hot.
Jen, we have a listener question.
Don't even try and say it's a listener question because you told me it was your friend Pablo.
Pablo, what's up, Pablo?
No, tell me, what does he want to know?
P.S. He's sending us his questions live from London. We have an international, a global audience.
I love it.
I'm very proud of this. Okay, so Pablo, I understand you wanted to know about, when people have like bumpies on their arms. What is that?
Like chicken skin is what people always call it.
Yeah, like what's going on with that? I see it a lot. I used to have it real bad when I was younger.
Like usually on the upper backs of the upper arms, right?
I had it so badly when I was younger. And it's like now I have like one or two once in a while. But when I was younger, it was like basically on fire.
Like sandpaper.
Yeah, my friend had it even worse than me.
Yeah, some people get it on their thighs or the tush.
The tushy. Mm-hmm.
We both know what it is. People, it's keratosis pilaris. I don't even need to see a picture. He can send me one if he wants. But it's keratosis pilaris, and it's this weird thing that, like, your doctor that's your regular general practitioner isn't going to know about, but derms do. They see it all the time. And here's why people get it worse. Because they see bumps, and they think, exfoliation is the key. I need to scrub that away because it's like a scab or a bump, and then it'll be gone.
And it's not necessarily like a zit, so it's just like...
Right, so they're just like, I'll just scrub it away, it'll be gone. That is the exact wrong thing to do. Because keratosis pilaris is like, it's like a keratin overgrowth, like the cells of your skin like grow too much. But weirdly, inflammation makes it worse. So imagine you're like scrubbing at it. You're just going to actually exacerbate it and you'll have more keratosis pilaris.
So what in your experience have you heard is a good solution?
Not a manual exfoliant like a scrub or like brushing it, but something that's chemical such as glycolic acid is supposed to be very good for this.
And that's not painful, guys, if you don't ever.
No, not at all. You could do another AHA like, salicylic, but glycolic at around 10% should be good. Or I believe urea is another chemical exfoliant that's also moisturizing. That would be a good ingredient to use. But like the key thing is not to rub it really hard. So gentle exfoliation. What have you told people for keratosis pilaris?
I did an interview once, and Dr. Ranella Hirsch, amazing derm,
love Ranella.
Isn't she? She's
what
a fun...
up to Boston?
we really are like very far-reaching. Our podcast, isn't it? So she suggested Amlactin, which isn't the most glamorous product, but it works. I believe it has lactic acid.
Which is another, I believe that's an AHA as well.
Correctamundo.
Okay.
And you just pop that on. It's not super expensive and it'll get the job done. You can use it all over your body.
And the good thing is that also has moisturizers in it, which is the last part of this little step, which is after you do the chemical exfoliation with a type of AHA, you actually do need to moisturize for it to go away. So stop trying to like burn it off with like Buff Puffs and Clearasils and like harsh sponges. That's Pablo. It's not going to cut it.
Love you, Pablo. So Jen,
talk to me.
There has been a rise in washes for down there.
Are you talking about vaginas? You're already blushing.
I'm feeling very hot.
So you are talking about vaginas?
Not like in a sexy way.
Okay.
I can't look at you.
Tell me, what products are you talking about?
So, Sweet Spot, which is a wash that is for your whole body, but it's safe for your sweet spot.
Okay. Ugh. You can get through this. Come on, Jess.
And then I love the name of this brand, Honeypot, which is a feminine wash.
Yeah.
Again, folks, I'm not talking about a douche, which is something you like stick up you, which I've never done and is really ill-advised. This is just a wash for like
the vulva area, not necessarily inside the vagina.
Yes, Dr. Goldstein.
Yeah. No, actually, like, what is it called? Morning's Eve or the Summer's one that everybody Eve. That everybody used to make
ever
fun of?
Ever get that not so fresh feeling?
Okay, so you saw the commercials
since childhood.
They've even expanded to get into this category. I've seen with like the exterior body washes that are made specifically for a woman's vulva and pubic area.
Correct.
So, what's your take on this whole thing? Because I've talked to doctors about this and. I have thoughts, but I'm going to let you give yours first. Why are you putting on sunglasses?
I can't look at you.
Oh, my God. You're that embarrassed?
No.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I think girls have stuck a lot of weird stuff up there.
Okay.
And I think that these washes, whether or not they're necessary, is a separate conversation. But these washes are a reminder that you can't just, like, go jamming stuff down your pants or, like, in the shower.
I am of a complete opposite thought. My thought is you don't need these damn washes. Put whatever you want in your vagina.
You cannot put whatever you want in your
vagina. Okay, except a douche. The thing is self-cleaning. Its whole point is there's bacteria in there that are good bacteria that are going to keep the pH balance in check. And the minute you start putting a douche or a weird wash that might be like a basic or acidic pH, you are throwing off the bacteria, which is a recipe for a yeast infection, God knows what else.
I agree with you on that, but these washes are a reminder, and these washes are like made for, like, you know, they're appropriately formulated, so they're super gentle. Like, I don't think the average bear...
I'm going to go out on a limb here. These washes are made for the patriarchy.
Can we just... let's take it down a notch, okay. And I'll let you get back to the patriarchy.
But I just hate when companies try and tell you that, like, your body is not okay the way it is. Like, this is why girls get embarrassed about their vaginas, because... they think, like, oh, I need flower smell. Nobody's vagina smells like flowers.
I'm with you, but just stay with me for a second.
Look how fired up I just got.
It's apples and oranges here.
That's not what your vagina smells like either. Okay, tell me.
Just like, okay, you know when guys, like, would, like, spray, like, Axe body spray, like, on their penises and, like, do
what?
Stuff like that?
No, I don't know about that. Oh, in the commercial, they used to, like, lift out their pants and spritz it down.
Girls are, like, also feel that kind of shame, which existed before these washes hit mainstream. So they're, like, washing their vag with Irish Spring, doing all kinds of cockamamie stuff, like... I worked at Cosmo. We've talked about sleepover kits and what people have done. Girls, I talked to a gynecologist before, and she's like, you have no idea what girls do to, like, seem fresh down there. Everything from taking, like, a wet nap to, I'm not joking you, ready? This is painful here. Clorox wipe.
Really?
So, yes. So you might be comfortable, you know, cozy comfy with your vag, but a lot of girls are not. So these washes, even if they don't buy them, their existence to me is a nice reminder. You can't go put in any
old thing. Like safer than a douche.
Douches, I think, are a separate category.
That's right. The thing. So these are like a healthier way to make you feel comfortable.
Just a reminder that your vagina is not like Teflon, and you can't, like, it's not something that.
You can put Clorox wipes in.
Clorox wipes, even Irish Spring. It's a special area that needs to be treated as such.
Okay.
Whether or not it needs to smell like vanilla and cranberries and pumpkin spice, I agree with you. Now, I'm going to go back to what you were saying, the patriarchy. Take it away, Jen.
Okay. Thank you. I get where you're coming from, but I think we have to go further back for the problem, which is what made these girls in the first place think that their vaginas needed to be cleaned with a Clorox wipe or cranberry vanilla spice? You know, whatever it is. And that's something that I feel like people should be more comfortable about. They smell like salt. They smell like sweat a little bit, like their vaginas. You know, they're not supposed to smell like anything other than that. So if you have that going on, that is a problem. And to be noted, these washes will not fix any sort of, like, vaginosis or, like, yeast infection or anything like that.
But I, you know what? Not mask the problem.
You brought me around a little bit. So I guess if you're going to be, I shouldn't say ashamed, if you're going to be worried about that anyway, this is a safer way to deal with it. But I just wish girls didn't even think about that. Or boys for that matter. It's the human body, people. It's not supposed to smell like roses.
Know what I mean? Peaches and cream. I need to catch more than I'm a fiend.
I am so excited to be here with Ara Friedman. She is easily the coolest person in color right now. She is the queen of rainbow hair, but she also does normal color too.
True.
She's done everyone. She's done Sky Ferreira, Lady Gaga, MIA, Santa Gold. You've taken everyone from, you know, you've basically transformed everyone's hair.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys. What a wonderful.
You're a magician.
Welcome. Yeah. We do have to talk about this whole rainbow hair thing.
Of course.
I feel like.
Who doesn't want to be a rainbow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're a colorist at Sally Hershberger in New York City, right?
Yes.
And you first came to our attention because you started the pink hair thing. Can you take credit for that?
I think I can.
Yes. How did it start?
It started with Lady Gaga at the VMAs 2009. She performed Paparazzi, and I put the pink pieces in her hair. And I knew it was a trend when, like, a year later, I saw Barbie dolls with pink streaks in their hair. Mm-hmm. So then you really know that it's spread like wildfire.
Yeah. But it's not just pink. You've also done, like, Suju, you took her from, like, brunette to, like, an icy platinum blonde. What is it about the, like, I don't want to say unnatural hair colors, but, yeah, like, nobody grows that.
Why? Like My Little Pony colors.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think that is so popular and took off so quickly?
Well, I think with pink in particular and all the pastel tones, I think that they're so flattering to the skin tone. And they don't look so crazy, like punky crazy. If you think punk in the 80s, you're thinking bright red or bright greens or all these crazy colors that with spiky hair and, like, you know, it's too much. But this pink can look very ladylike and soft and feminine, and it's very flattering to almost all skin tones.
So it's like a non-aggressive way to do
something
like
fun.
A punky color.
Yeah, it's a way to express yourself. And I would say that it's not even considered punky at all anymore. I would say that all ages do that color. I have people that are, you know, in their mid-20s to people in their late 30s that are still making their hair pink.
You see celebrities who are, like, in their 40s and 50s going with these little pink washes, pink tints at the end.
I mean, I'll tell you my inspiration and where the pink and pastel colors came from is I was browsing and have been collecting vintage Playboys. And something about the color at that time, it not being as advanced as it is now, and the matte finish in the magazine and the papers, you know, in the photographs, the combination of the two gave everything this, like, pastel, dusty tone. And if you look at old pictures of Jane Mansfield, Marilyn Monroe, they all have this soft pink or peach or silver or, like, a bluish, you know, like, it's just such a subtle tint. And I became obsessed with that. And all I wanted to do was figure out how to make that happen with regular hair color.
But was it, wait, did the paper give it that tint, or they went to the salon and they got, like,
the
a bluish tint?
Back then too, like the camera film gives every, like an Instagram filter sort of.
Yeah, I think it's the combination, because what happens is the color at that time, the only way that the majority of hair color from that time was bleach and tone.
Okay.
So what we did to Suju, essentially, that's a bleach and tone. Like, you know, bleaching the hair as pale as possible and then adding tone afterwards. So when you add tone afterwards, what happens is it takes in different ways. And their color molecules and everything that they used was not nearly as advanced as it is now. Like back then, the color that you toned with had a lot of ammonia in it.
Okay.
So the bleach had a ton of ammonia and then the color had a ton of ammonia and it was just...
And they reacted a little bit.
They reacted for sure. And also the way the hair would hold the color. It just would either take it too much because it's so porous and it would act like a sponge and just absorb it, like, really, like, overly toned.
Okay.
Or else it would not take so much at all and leave, like, a pinkish hue. And even redheads at that time, they were more pink or peachy.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. Yeah. It wasn't so fiery.
Yeah.
Or until, is blue.
Until maybe like Lucille Ball or someone like that actually had.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Red pigment in her hair to begin with.
Right.
You know, but even there were some redheads, like there's one that I fell in love with that I can't remember the woman's name. I think she was a socialite from that time that was almost like a coral red.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'd like to see that.
Those colors were just so like inspiring to me. And I just started playing around with color because at that time when I was at Bumble, this
So when was this? Like around 2009?
2002.
Oh, this is long. Okay.
Is when I started just experimenting with those colors and like and just testing them out on hair swatches and hair pieces that are, you know, human hair, but I can test it on blonde pieces and trying to come up with color formulas that were regular hair color, like blonde and this color and that color, and turning it into pink colors.
So you were really experimental. Is that, and I know you said you did, you know, Gaga with the pink and that was your big moment, but was it because you were so experimental, is that why you think you were like the authority in colored, you know, rainbow hair? Were other people just not interested in messing around with this?
I think that I was bold and not afraid to do anything. So for instance, with Suju, there was only one other Asian girl that had blonde hair, and hers was never quite as icy and platinum as Suju's was. And, you know, basically Roman sent her into me from Wilhelmina and said, hey, can you make her platinum? And I was like, yeah. And the thing was,
I feel like other colorists would be like, I'm not trying.
Exactly.
Is that it? People are like afraid to?
Yes.
Because that seems to me, maybe I'm being naive here, but like an easy way to make a statement to get your name out there is to like do a big transformation. Like, why isn't anyone else doing this?
I mean, I think they're doing it now because they realize they can.
Mm.
And in the past, they didn't think that they could.
Without, like, ruining their hair, maybe? Or
yeah. And luckily, I had some practice with some coworkers that I worked with at Bumble.
Did you ruin little rainbow heads were running around.
Did you ruin anyone?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good.
No ruining. Everyone came out perfectly platinum and beautiful and, you know.
Yeah.
And luckily, it was the same reaction with Suju. And it actually took a while for it to really hit. I realized that it takes about almost a year for people to realize, whoa, this is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And luckily, it was Karl Lagerfeld and Corinne Reutfeld that really seem to love her. And the CR magazine, too, she's in, like, every single story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are you talking about, like, trends in general or the hair? Like, do you see it? Like, something leaves your salon and then it takes a couple months before you see it?
Yeah. I think all, like, trends in general, even. Because when I did Carolyn Polachek's splashlight, the stripe, it was, like, a stripe of white around her head. It took a year as well for people to start noticing it. And then people started photographing her. And then I posted a photo that went viral. And Allure wrote about it. And it was almost like a year before people were like, it literally went viral. It like broke the internet.
So you walk on the street, you see, you know, like there's a pink-haired girl on every block. You're satisfied with that. It makes you feel good. But now do you feel like, what's next? You know, like, I've got to push this further. You know,
yeah, what
pink
are you
hair
on?
Is, or colored hair is so,
you know what?
Mainstream now.
Everything's come out in such an organic way, and I think that's the only way for it to happen. I think that if you want to be like, oh, okay, I have to, like, make this next trend and make sure that, like, someone so-and-so is listening, like, honestly, I'll, like, post something on Instagram and be like, this is amazing, like, everyone's gonna love it, and, like, I'll get, you know, not that many likes, but then I'll post something, not think anything of it, and all of a sudden it's like an article on Refinery and like somewhere else. And
yeah. What recently
and
hit that was big?
The oil slick went crazy.
That's like the purple, bluey, greeny?
Right.
Okay.
That it's like the concept is it's based off of an oil slick or anything iridescent. So
that's cool.
The expansion of oil slick and the expansion or evolution of pastel hair would be the opal hair trend, and then mother of pearl. So it's like every variation possible of like the coolest, most beautiful iridescent things. So of course, like all those things inspire me, and that's why I want to like mimic them on hair. And I thought that would be such a cool concept since it's hard to do that hair.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge, and it really went crazy in the, you know, in the media and like everywhere, and just people started writing about it like crazy, and other people were doing it, and you know, it was just exciting and fun to see.
It's organic, I guess, how it happens.
Yeah, it's very organic.
Do people ever ask you about their color formulas? I've always wanted to ask a hair colorist this. I feel like you guys are very proprietary about your knowledge. And, like, I've asked hair colors, I've been like, what brand do you use on me? Just because I'm curious. People don't even ask.
No, if they ask, I don't care. I mean,
do you tell them?
Yes, because as a client and for good customer service, if they're going to leave and go somewhere else and get their hair color done, and meaning, like, most people get their formulas because they're going to L.A. or they're going here, wherever they're going, I want them to continue with my color because I don't want to fix their hair when they come back to me. Yeah. So I don't mind them having their formula at all. I know some colorists charge for it, but...
Wait, charged for the knowledge?
For the formula itself.
I've never heard of that.
Wait, but like they're not giving them the formula just to know what they're using?
Yeah.
How do you itemize that?
No, the actual formula.
Oh.
They'll charge for. Some colorists do charge for the actual formula.
Just the information.
Just the information.
Not the physical dye.
I think that what should matter most of all is that your client's hair color is always consistently great and that they're always happy with it.
For those people who aren't going to just go to someone else but are tempted to DIY it at home. I know, scary.
She's slowly nodding.
Okay.
You know, the question.
Yeah, you're doing your colors in a really elevated way. I'm not going to even pretend that someone's going to be able to replicate what you do at home. But what are some tips that you can give people, just general tips in terms of doing your color at home?
Like what's possible, what's not.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so what's possible is if you have gray coverage and it's just a single process, that is it.
That's all we
That's
can do.
It.
You can only
so
do single process at home. Don't
gray
attempt.
Coverage. Mm-hmm. And you should always only touch up the root. You should never pull it through to the end. Because what ends up happening is what people don't realize is your root is new hair that hasn't been colored. So when you put the color on the root, especially if it's a permanent color, it deposits color, but it also lifts a little bit. So it keeps it lighter and it keeps it matching the ends. The ends down here already have color.
And they've already been lifted.
They've already been lifted and they've always already been deposited. So if
so they're all good. Just let them be.
Adding, they're all good. Don't touch them. Because if you keep adding the color, it turns into shoe polish.
And then you get like the hot roots and the dark ends.
Exactly.
Which is like the opposite of the whole ombre trend.
Exactly.
Do you deal with a lot of blondeaholics? Because one of my best friends is a platinum blonde and she always thinks she'll... Okay, I love her to death. She's so funny, but we'll be somewhere together. I'll never forget this. And she said, is that girl blonder than me? Like, as if I was her boyfriend and, like, she prettier than me? And she is, like, at that point, she was, like, loose leaf paper white.
Oh,
fax
yeah.
machine, whatever. Copy
You're like,
paper.
It's just
I was like, you
not.
Cannot go whiter, girl. It was crazy. What's going on with the blondeaholics?
I call it blondorexia. As well.
Better.
Yes, that's it. Blondeaholic
more fitting. Is like on your way to becoming blondorexic. So I think what it is it's, and the reason why I say blondorexic is because they can't tell how blonde they are. And with platinum, it's especially difficult because it's like, babe, there's like no, I can't add any more bleach. I can't lighten the ends. And what happens is when a blonde walks out the door, she's got to deal with all the elements. She has to deal with the water, which has tons of minerals in it, which literally changes the hair drastically. Like, you should see what I pull out of people's hair using a chelator. It's like the color of...
What do you mean pull out?
Well, so there's a product that removes buildup and removes mineral buildup.
Like that Malibu thing?
It's like Malibu or like Pre-Art, which is from Redken. And basically you put it on the hair, you put them under heat, and you take it out, but you're supposed to like squeegee it off the hair.
Right.
And it literally pulls it like, because the heat helps open the cuticle. Mm-hmm. And this grips on to the minerals that are in there and literally pulls the minerals out. And it's green. I mean, if from London, it's like... The most disgusting brownish yellow.
It's different colors you pull out in different cities.
Yeah.
Based on their water supply.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's fascinating.
What is that
in LA?
It sounds so satisfying.
It's, I think it's called limestone. I mean, I think it's limestone there.
What about in LA, you were saying?
In LA, it's chlorine.
Oh.
It's like green. Like teal, sometimes.
Weird. But then
and
you know
wild.
You've gotten it out.
Yeah, then you know you've gotten it out, and then you can proceed. Like, I usually, like, I've been trying to get people to come in early so I can remove it so I could see a clean palette. So I have a cleansed palette, and then I can go from there with
And then
the
you start bleaching? Okay, and then you start bleaching. Okay.
Yeah, whether it's highlights or double process or whatever it is.
Because the minerals impede the color process?
Yeah, well... Yes and no. It's just that you don't want to go over a spot that because... So what happens is in New York, we have a combination of different things. And in New York, it turns brassy. And,
got it.
And darker. And it looks darker.
If you have a lot of minerals in your hair. So you want this chelator.
Yeah, you want it.
Okay.
That brings up a good question, which is like, you're right. The minute you walk out the salon door, it's like you're in a fight for that color to keep the blonde, your friend who wants to be super blonde. What else, besides coming back to maybe get a chelating treatment, what can you do to keep your color, whether it's blonde or brunette or whatever, the same as it looks when you left?
Well, throughout the years, I've been finding good products along the way.
Yeah.
Nexxus has this product that I haven't seen anything else like it yet. It's called, it's from their Color Assure line. So it's meant for color treated hair. And it's called pre-wash primer. And you put it on from root to end, like a few squirts of it from root to end before you shampoo your hair. And what it's meant to do is to seal in your tone, your color, and repel water.
Okay.
So the water still gets in to, like, clean your hair.
And your scalp, your hair is, and oil and whatever?
Your scalp, it takes out, everything's fine. You can still cleanse the hair really well. But your color is sealed in there a little bit better. And it also stops those minerals from attaching to the porous part of your hair.
Do you do that every time you're about to shampoo?
Every time you shampoo your hair. Wow, and then I also recommend to people not to shampoo too often. I tell them, try to shampoo once or twice a week if possible. And I, with blondes especially, I try to have them use cleansing creams instead of shampoo. So maybe alternating a shampoo once a week and then a cleansing cream another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about these protective sprays, which I feel like I've written this tip a million times and I'm going to admit it. I don't even know if it's true. Like people say it because they're just like, yeah, put an antioxidant protective spray. Does that do
from
anything?
From the sun?
Yeah, from the sun.
Anything that you layer on your hair is going to put a protective, like, it's going to protect your hair.
Even if it were just, like, gel?
Yeah. It's going to protect it somewhat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no matter, it's, because what it does is it creates a barrier. So if it's, like, an oil or a leave-in conditioner or a specific product for the sun, which usually, like, if my clients are going to the beach or swimming pools or whatever and going to sit in the sun for hours, I just tell them to use coconut oil because that actually has a natural SPF, mm-hmm. and it's moisturizing at the same time. So it's giving you a deep treatment. And you know how, like, chlorine and salt water and the sun can all dry your hair out so much.
Yeah.
So it's protecting it in so many different ways. And, like, to go, if you're going to go into a pool, like, and you're blonde, your hair is going to be green.
So how about you personally? I don't, like, how would you describe your hair color right now? It's like surfer girl, but with pinkish ends kind of going
yeah.
on. Or rose, not
And
pinkish.
Then this faded up here. Because I put
crown.
The pink up here,
yeah.
but it faded faster because this is more porous.
The ends
are
more porous.
So it's going to hold on to that pink more.
Good to know. So what, in addition to that Nexxus product, like what shampoos and cleansing conditioners do you like?
So I really love the New Wash from Hair Story Studio, and I use that once a week, and then I alternate with the Brazilian Bond Builder, which is a sulfate-free shampoo. It's really moisturizing. It's great for color-treated hair, but it's called B3 Brazilian Bond Builder.
Is that like that Olaplex stuff? What are they about?
It's a similar idea. They're both bond building products, and they're amazing.
What do they do, just for people who?
Well, basically, a bond builder, what it does is it adds links to the bonds of the hair, so it's actually repairing the hair from the inside out.
And that the bonds get destroyed in color treatments, or
yes,
okay.
So and not even just in color treatments, in like flat ironing, blow drying.
So like everyone needs a bond builder or
yeah,
could use one.
I mean, anyone that, you know, if you don't style your hair at all and let it dry naturally all the time and don't color it and don't do anything, then I'd say you probably don't need one. But any other...
There's unicorn out there somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There might be one person in the world. And usually those people will come into the salon and be like, I want to go platinum.
So eventually they'll need one.
Exactly.
What about non-hair stuff? You're rocking like a very nice rosy fuchsia lip today. Tell us what's in your makeup bag that
Thanks.
You bring around.
Stephen Klein.
Limited edition. Sorry, people. That's beautiful.
Loving this new Marc Jacobs blush.
Oh,
it has
nice corally color.
It has both a highlighter and I love the color.
Also,
it.
I feel like it's in your whole 60s plague boy palette.
Yeah, exactly.
Like apricot-y and like pinky.
I love it. Yes.
I feel like I'm getting to know you now. Yeah.
we've got more,
oh, and even
more
we
apricot.
We got really cheap stuff from like someone went crazy at Ricky's.
Is it Matisse or Matesse? I never know how
I'm
to say it.
I'm not sure, but that is totally yeah. that color we were just talking about.
This is
like
a tulipy, apricot-y,
yeah,
pinky
like
gold.
Shiny.
And you put this on your eyes?
Yeah, on my lids.
And you promised when you came in, because you smell delicious, you promised you would tell me what it is. What is it?
Oh, my God. So it's from Whole Foods. And I get compliments.
Their fine fragrance department?
I literally get compliments for my perfume constantly.
I'm not surprised. It's like this wonderful, musky, soft skin.
Well, I'm scared to tell everyone because they run out of this color. I mean, this particular scent all the time.
Well, not all our listeners in New York, so you'll be okay.
Come on, take it out. Take it out.
I literally go in. So Persian Garden.
Okay.
I literally go in and buy Kumba? Like five at a time.
Like Kumba. Kumba made Persian Garden fragrance
Did
oil.
You just like stumble upon this in whole body? Is it in a whole body?
I smelled someone. Yeah, it's in the whole, like, you know, yeah. The section where all the like vitamins are too. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing all your secrets with us.
Yeah.
I feel like I have newfound respect for hair colorists everywhere.
You smell great. You look great. Come back again, Aura.
Oh.
I kind of love her.
Did you see her little dog collar necklace thing?
She was like very 90s out. Like she wore like a little dog collar, like a legit dog collar. I don't know who made it.
I raise a wand to that.
And she had like a floral dress. And
I'm into it.
Oh, she's doing ankle boots.
Yeah.
She was like very
raise a 90s. Wand to Aura Friedman.
Love her.
Also, raise a wand.
Oh, P.S. I talked to Deborah Littman about doing our intro to raise a wand.
Oh, yeah, because my singing's horrible?
No, just because I think that it would be really cool. And Deborah, if you can hear this, please do it.
Okay. On that note, should I go first?
Yep.
Okay. I feel like I'm going out on a limb here. I have a self-tanning product. I am. You wouldn't think I was a self-tanner, would you? Also, it looks like diapers, but it's not.
I need to be convinced.
It
Keep
is
going.
Skin Dimitri James Simply Sun-Kissed Sunless Tanning Cloths. So usually I'm like self-tanner. I'm like, this is just too much effort. I'm going to be like my weird olivey green self and with sunscreen and not get tan, and that's fine because I tan easily. But so I got these wipes. They're wipes. You get like 30 of them in a package. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. That's my job. So you pull it out. It's a little bit larger than a face wipe, and it's soaked with self-tanning lotion. And so you rub it all over wherever you want to be, but you don't have to be really accurate.
I like this.
You like the idea of it, right?
I really do, because self-tanner scares me because it almost always goes wrong for me.
Right. So these, I think, have a very low dose of like erythrolose and DHA, the ingredients that make your skin tan. So I just sort of like rubbed it on the high points of my face and then sort of down both arms and on my, what do the French people call it?
Décolleté.
On my décolleté.
Or décolletage,
and
one of those.
I went to go see my family and my mom's like, you look great. And I realized what it was. It just gives like a nice warmth to the skin. No matter your skin tone, even if you're fair, olive, even darker skin, it just like warms up your skin tone, but not enough that you have like orange streaks and are scared.
No, you look good. You don't look like overly done.
Skin Dimitri James.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got to try that.
What are you going to raise a wand to?
Okay. I'm always like on and off eyeshadow. Sometimes I'm like, I don't like eyeshadow because I think I look like one of those like 80s ladies, like mm-hmm. too done. You know, it looks like I put on makeup today. Like I have an interview or, you know, like it's pictured. Like there's something like kind of also aging about eyeshadow a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like especially three colors, one for the crease, one for the brow bone.
It's like too like I'm trying to be sophisticated.
Okay.
But then I also feel like I need to look a little bit more polished because sometimes I look at myself and I look
because you're a beauty director now?
No, Jen. Oh, God. No, it's because I feel like I look tired and like I think I've done my makeup and then I see a picture of myself and I'm like, who's that dude? You know, it's like
right.
really like I need to look a little bit more
like
done.
When mascara is not enough.
Exactly.
So what do you have?
So I dusted out this old thing that I had in my kit for a while. It's an Urban Decay Single Pot Eyeshadow in Laced, L-A-C-E-D. And it's
how else would Laced be spelled?
I don't know. That was super weird that I did that. it's like a mauve that has more
Ooh.
Of a gray undertone. And you just put it over your whole lid. I'm wearing it now, but I didn't prime, so it may be a little, like, done.
It's lovely, and I would say that that's like an Aura Friedman hair color almost, like a...
You've nailed it. Oh,
like
my God.
Like a dusty, mauve-y beige. I really like
yes,
it.
Yes, it's an Aura Friedman hair color in a pot. Very, yeah, dusty beige. You're totally dusty mauve. And it just gives you a little bit of shading and evens out your lids, and it doesn't look like you're, you know, it's picture day or you're, like, trying too hard. I absolutely love it. Nice. It's a matte finish, too.
Raise a wand. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.